Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Slacker's Lost Guide to the Accommodated World is the third book in D.A.A.N. James's The Unaccommodated Autist series, a neurodivergent-centered work concerned with autism, burnout, self-definition, and the politics of accommodation. Available public descriptions position the series less as conventional self-help and more as a form of self-defense for autistic readers who have been pressured to perform, according to neurotypical expectations. This volume is described as a speculative remix in which the world bends toward the autistic person rather than requiring the autistic person to bend toward the world. Its subject is therefore not only individual coping, but the design of environments, expectations, and social systems. The book appears aimed at autistic and neurodivergent readers who feel misread by ordinary productivity advice, as well as readers interested in disability justice and neurodiversity. Its purpose is to reframe difficulty not as personal defect, but as the result of poor accommodation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, accommodation as the central alternative to autistic self-erasure. The book's defining premise is that autistic difficulty should not automatically be interpreted as failure, weakness, or refusal. Instead, it treats many struggles as evidence that the surrounding world has been built around assumptions that do not fit autistic bodies, attention patterns, sensory needs, or communication styles. This shift matters because it changes the question being asked. A conventional self-improvement frame asks how the individual can become more efficient, more socially acceptable, or less visibly different. The accommodated world frame asks what would happen if routines, spaces, expectations, and judgments were redesigned so that autistic existence did not require constant masking or compensation, because this is the third book in a series concerned with the unaccommodated autist. The topic extends earlier concerns with survival and being seen into a more structural thought experiment. The emphasis is not on exemption from responsibility, but on rejecting a one-sided model in which only the autistic person must adapt. Accommodation becomes a practical and ethical principle, rather than a favor granted after distress becomes undeniable. Secondly, a speculative remix that reverses who must adapt. Public descriptions identify this volume as a speculative remix where the world bends, not the person. That phrase points to one of the book's most distinctive features. It does not appear to operate only as advice, memoir, or diagnostic explanation. It uses speculation as a method for exposing the hidden rules of ordinary life by imagining an accommodated world. The book can make visible how much effort autistic people often spend translating themselves into systems that were not designed with them in mind. This reversal is analytically useful because it treats the present world as contingent rather than natural. Workplaces, classrooms, social rituals, productivity systems, and everyday expectations can seem inevitable until they are viewed from the perspective of someone regularly harmed by them. Speculation allows the book to ask what would count as normal if autistic needs were treated as design inputs from the beginning. The value of this method is not escapism alone. It provides a way to criticize current norms without reducing autism to a list of deficits or treating accommodation as an afterthought. Thirdly, self-defense rather than conventional self-help. The series is described as not self-help, but self-defense. And this distinction is central to understanding the book's likely stance. Traditional self-help often assumes that readers need better discipline, clearer goals, stronger habits, or a more positive attitude. For neurodivergent readers, especially those experiencing burnout or shutdown, such advice can become another source of pressure. This book's framework appears to resist that pattern by refusing to treat the autistic reader as a broken project requiring optimization. Self-defense in this context means protecting one's limits, naming harmful expectations, and recognizing when a system is asking for unsustainable performance. The point is not to dismiss all practical strategies, but to place them within a more protective framework. A strategy is useful only if it respects the reader's actual capacity and nervous system, rather than demanding constant imitation of neurotypical productivity. This makes the book different from many advice books that universalize one model of functioning. Its practical orientation begins with legitimacy. The reader's needs are real, and adaptation should not mean disappearance. Fourthly, sovereignty and self-definition as responses to being misread. The broader series links autism with sovereignty, self-definition, and the fight to be seen. And this volume continues that concern through the lens of accommodation. Autistic people are often interpreted through external labels: difficult, lazy, oversensitive, rude, unmotivated, dramatic, or not trying hard enough. The book's framework challenges that interpretive habit by emphasizing that being misread is not a minor inconvenience. It can shape education, employment, relationships, medical encounters, and self-perception. Sovereignty here means the right to define one's experience from the inside, rather than being managed according to someone else's assumptions. In an accommodated world, self-definition would not have to function as constant defense against mislabeling. It would be part of how environments are built and how interactions are evaluated. This topic deepens the book beyond simple comfort or validation. It suggests that recognition is a material issue when people are misunderstood. They are often denied the supports that would allow them to function well. Accurate self-definition, therefore, becomes a prerequisite for fair accommodation. Lastly, burnout, overwhelm, and the limits of productivity culture. The book is positioned for readers who feel overwhelmed, burnt out, or misunderstood by productivity systems. This focus gives its discussion of accommodation a concrete everyday relevance. Productivity culture often treats consistency, speed, responsiveness, and task completion as neutral measures of competence. For many autistic and otherwise neurodivergent people, those measures can ignore sensory load, executive function demands, recovery time, social exhaustion, and fluctuating capacity. The result is that ordinary advice may intensify burnout by asking the reader to push harder within the same mismatch. The accommodated world frame contests that logic. It implies that difficulty doing the thing may not come from lack of will, but from task design, environmental friction, unclear expectations, or insufficient recovery. This does not mean every demand disappears. Rather, demands must be examined for whether they are necessary, accessible, and proportionate. By connecting burnout to accommodation, the book treats exhaustion as information about the fit between person and environment. That makes its critique more specific than a general rejection of busyness or ambition. In conclusion, S. Lackerslot's Guide to the Accommodated World is most relevant for autistic readers, neurodivergent readers, and people close to them who want a framework that does not begin by asking the autistic person to become less autistic. It should also interest readers of disability justice, neurodiversity writing, and critiques of productivity culture. Its practical benefit lies in the way it reframes common experiences such as burnout, overwhelm, misreading, and shutdown as signs of environmental mismatch rather than automatic personal failure. Its intellectual benefit is the reversal at its center. Instead of treating accommodation as a minor adjustment to an otherwise neutral world, it asks what changes when autistic needs become a starting point for design. Compared with many books in the self-help or productivity category, it stands out because it does not appear to promise normalization through better habits. Compared with more clinical autism books, it seems less focused on diagnosis and more focused on lived sovereignty, social interpretation, and the ethics of support. Because available public information is limited, the book is best approached as a neurodivergence-centered speculative guide rather than a comprehensive clinical or policy text. Its distinctiveness is its insistence that adaptation should not be one-sided. If you would like to support DAA James, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.